family. We share our bugs. We share our blessings. We also share our tie clips. So there we go. I hope you're all blessed this morning, and hopefully this morning, I'm not sure what's going on with that microphone. The EQ's out. I think I'll probably use this one. All right. If you've got your Bibles, would you like to turn to Acts chapter 4? Do you ever get scared? We all do, don't we? There are times when maybe circumstances are such that they really challenge us. Sometimes it's just what's going on in life generally. We're going to read from Acts chapter 4, reading from verse 1. And just put up on the screen my PowerPoint. Hopefully that should come up there in just a moment. Okay. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail or in prison until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Hallelujah. And the next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's families. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power of what or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to the mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. Sounds a bit like Dragon's Den, doesn't it? "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what And I love this sentence. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand. We'll look at that in a minute. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Hallelujah. May God bless his word. Do you know, God always does bless his word, especially when it's read publicly, and when it enters in our hearts, God uses it. So let's pray today that he will do that. As I started off saying, did you ever get scared? I don't know about you, but these men were in a dangerous situation here. They were standing before the same people who had had Jesus crucified. Can you imagine the situation? Sorry, it's being scared. It's happened to me several times before in my life. And I imagine right now the people of the Caribbean, I'm sure, could tell us a lot about what it is to be scared in the face of a powerful situation. And the people of Houston, storms like these are so powerful, aren't they? Awesome in a scary way. I've never been in one quite like theirs, but I do remember the Michael Fish hurricane that wasn't. Do you remember? Anyone remember it? There isn't going to be a hurricane. Oh, yes, there is. It's behind you. 1979, I think it was, if I remember rightly. And I remember feeling the awesome power of it as we were in our house. And we felt like we were being blown about all over the place. But I also remember going out and seeing the devastation of all the woodlands and forests and trees down everywhere. It was enormous, the effect that hurricane had. I would imagine that it's far worse currently in the Caribbean. Romans 1 verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen. In creation, we just catch a glimpse, a tiny glimpse, of the power of God. Do you realize that? He made all of this earth. He made its abilities. He made its awesomeness. And because he's even more powerful, just think for a moment what that power is like. I remember the story of a tightrope walker who was used to take people across Niagara Falls and in a wheelbarrow, and there's a long history to that. But I remember one day he was talking to the crowd who were there at Niagara Falls, and he said, do you think I can take anyone across there? And they were all going, yes, yes, yes. And then he pointed to one man and he said, right, you get in the wheelbarrow and see how you feel. And the awesomeness of that drop, and the awesomeness of the falls, and the awesomeness and the seeming weakness of the tightrope walker, I have to say that man never got in the wheelbarrow. Someone else who had a bit more courage did. But what does this chapter talk to us about? It talks to us about the power of God. It talks to us about their understanding of power. But it also talks to us about the boldness we need to have in the face of that power. I was looking at the story. Do you remember, anyone remember Dusty Springfield? You young ones won't ever remember her. Apart from the fact she did sing a couple of times with the Pet Shop Boys, if you've ever heard of them either. But I was... Yeah, if you want one, yeah. Looking at the story of Dusty Springfield the other day, she was an iconic singer of the 60s and the 90s, and they said she could never quite decide who she was. Dusty the performer was confident on stage, but the real Mary O'Brien, that was her name, was very insecure. She lacked all the confidence of the performer. And she could never quite decide who she was. One of the questions I believe God wants us to ask today is, who do you think you are? Because when you became the new creation that God made you, Yeah, he didn't lift you up to be an arrogant person, but he did lift you up to be something that you never were before. He lifted you up to be one of the sons and the daughters of the living God, with a privilege that goes beyond sometimes what we can ever imagine. You probably look at the royal family and you see how the children have such a privilege of being able to just go to mum and dad and get what they want and speak to them. Privilege that we never have. But the truth is that we are like that with God. We have an access to God because of what Jesus did that gives us and makes us something very different to what we were before we knew him. I find the book of Acts so encouraging because when you start off at the beginning of Acts, you see a dejected group of individuals who've walked with the most amazing Messiah, and then suddenly everything's been taken away. But it doesn't stay that way, does it? You see that the disciples become something that is filled with a power and a boldness that takes them into the whole world. So often I believe our thoughts can be filled with the oh if onlys. Sometimes when we look back on our lives, we can think, if only I'd done that, if only I'd allowed God to do that in my life, if only I'd committed myself to this. I was reading the story of a multi-millionaire the other day who was lauded for making good decisions, which had made him rich. And one day someone said, "You make really good decisions." And he said, "Actually," he said, "if you knew me, you'd realise I don't." He said, "One day before I had so much money as I do now," he said, "I had a knock at the door. And this young man stood there and he said, I need to raise some money," he said. "And to do that," he said, "I want to sell you my invention." And the man said, I think his surname was Wallace, he said, "Sell you your invention. What is your invention?" And the young man explained to him his invention. And Wallace said, "No, thank you, that's fine." So he said, the young man said, "Okay, well, that's okay." And he went down the road and he knocked a few more doors. And he knocked another door and that person said yes. The invention he was talking about was the zip. In the first year of that zip being produced, it made £12 million profit. Just in the first year. Can you imagine how much profit it's made since? And that man said, "I realise I did not make a good decision." That goes on in all our lives, doesn't it? We make so many decisions as we face things. And so many of them are poor decisions. But somehow in Acts, the disciples changed. Instead of being the disparate group of people who somehow or other were either arguing, vying for power, or putting their foot in it, suddenly something changed in the book of Acts. And we all know that Pentecost was at the root of that. We all know that that was because God's power and God's spirit came into them. The if onlys, I was just going to say that when we look around us today, we think, if only the nations could find peace. If only the country's leaders could agree. If only people could be honest and fair. And the truth is, if only people could see who Jesus was and allow his power to touch those lives, those if onlys would become a thing of the past. And I think part of our blessing as the people of God is we already see how God has transformed our lives, and how already, just like in Acts, those if onlys became thank God for what he's done in me. I love also the fact that they understood what it was to be bold because of what they'd learned. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12, one of the disciples, that was Paul I think, wrote this. He said, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold." And this chapter, if you like, in a lot of ways is all about the boldness that started to emerge in the disciples. Something changed in them because they understood that the power of God at work in our world had changed. Previously, power was in God's hands alone, and it was a bit like a lightning bolt. You never quite knew when it would strike, where it would strike, and what it would do. That's how the Old Testament was. And in a lot of ways, people couldn't discern what God was going to do because they didn't know him intimately enough. But then when Jesus came, something changed, and they saw that the Father was working through Jesus Christ. And Jesus enabled them to understand what God was doing. Jesus enabled them to understand what he was about to do and what he was going to do in the future. And God's power suddenly took on a whole new meaning. It took on the meaning that actually there was they could see the plan. They could see what was going to happen. They could see what God was doing, and they could be part of it. But then imagine what happened when Jesus left and he ascended. The question we've gone through their lives, where's the power now? What would happen now? Was it going to go back to lightning bolts? Well, the answer was that God's power, as we know, was coming to live in them and through them, just like they'd seen in Jesus Christ. And that's why they say, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, because the power of God was in them. And as they wrote later, they explained their new understanding of how God's power affected them. I love the verses in 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says this: his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I think I might have that up on the screen. There we go. If you want a good verse to carry with you, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And if you've got a lot of if onlys in your life at the moment, you need to grab hold of that verse, because God is at work in us if we will allow him, and he will provide for us if we will allow him. There's another verse which Jeanette and I don't talk ever. No, honest, we don't. But do you recognise the verse? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Yeah, these disciples understood more about power now than they ever did. The power of God at work in them. And so today I just want us to pick up on just a couple of things that we see as reasons why we too should be bold because of what God has done. We can have great boldness because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I don't know what this is doing for your sense of excitement at the moment, but as I read these verses, what it says to me is, God, what an amazing God we have. He's at work in us. And do you remember that verse that I just highlighted? Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, and they did what your power and will had decided. Can you start to see what God's power is doing? It's more than just a nice little sort of ingredient. It's more than just a nice idea. It's a power that actually affects and changes and makes a difference. Hallelujah. Which is why Scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how he will not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. I hope already your sense of encouragement is growing, because we have reasons to be bold. We have reasons to have that sense of hope and that sense of tremendous possibilities in our lives. The first of the reasons why we have reason to be bold is because of the resurrection. It changed their views on what was going to go happen with their earthly bodies. I don't know whether you're like me, but I don't like getting hurt. I don't like the idea of death. I don't like the idea of someone actually destroying me. And I see all these movies and all these horror movies, and I think, gosh, we are martyrs, aren't we, to the media. Why do we want to think about all that grotty death stuff that's in there in those films? Well, part of the reason we do is because we're intrigued by our own reactions to it. And the truth is that most of us, when we're facing death and we're facing danger, most of us, it horrifies us. That's why they're called horror movies. If you had no hope of ever replacing your car, you would make it last. And last and last. And that's why in Cuba they have cars that are something like 70 years old, because they had no hope of replacing them, so they made sure that they would last. We do that with our bodies because we have a fear of death. We hold back from anything that is dangerous. But resurrection changes that need for self-preservation. And when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," he released the disciples, and hopefully he released us too, to that sense of not being scared of what life will do to us, not being scared of what people could do to us, because actually this body may die, but we are eternal. Amen. We have reason to be bold in what we do and how we do things and what we allow ourselves to do because of the resurrection. Isn't that brilliant? In the movies, the ultimate warrior is always the one who can't be killed. Superman, etc. Resurrection changes things. We also have power, a boldness, because of the Holy Spirit in us. That's why I picked out that all about Herod and their conspiring. I love the fact that while those men were just conspiring against Jesus Christ to do their worst, the Holy Spirit was working in the enemies of Christ to make sure exactly what God wanted to happen, happened. Do you know that same power that worked in the life of Jesus is working in your life and mine? And when we face opposition, when we face danger, when we face whatever it is, do you realize that the Holy Spirit is working in all those things that oppose us? They conspire against us. God conspires for us. That's why Romans 8 says, all things work together for good for those who love God, not because it's fate or anything like that, but because the Holy Spirit is at work. Hallelujah. And that gave them a new boldness, and hopefully we too can have that new boldness. The key to boldness, I believe, is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've not asked to be filled, John 20:22 says this: receive. For us, we can know not only the power of God working in those who oppose us, but also in our hearts to rebuild us and remake us. Also in these verses, we see that we can have boldness because of the name of Jesus. I love the song we sing, and I love what Scripture says. There is power in the name of Jesus. Do you know what Scripture tells us? That everything of darkness trembles and flees when the name of Jesus is mentioned. If you ever feel in a bad situation, if you ever feel like you're being oppressed, just speak out the name of Jesus. Because all the darkness in our world just runs away at the name of Jesus. Because it is a mighty name. It is the same name that when the end of time comes, every knee will bow to, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We can be bold because of Jesus' name, and we can be bold too because Jesus has sent us out in his name. Jesus said, we have authority to ask. John 14 says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. And here in this chapter, we see that in verse 9 to 11, we see them saying, know this then, all you people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, that this man has been healed and stands before you. The name of Jesus changes things. We can be bold because of that. We can also be bold because it's Jesus only. Jesus is not one of many ways to heaven, even though we would love that to be the case, and our world would too. But Scripture tells us that Jesus is the only one. There is salvation in no one else. Verse 12. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. He said this, we must enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few found it. I want us to be encouraged today because we found the gate that leads to life. Do you get that? We found it. We had to go through it, yes, but we've got the most incredible treasure in our hands. We can see the gate of salvation, and it is in Jesus Christ. And that should give us boldness, because we carry not the plague of death in our lives, but we carry with us the means of eternal life and the means of life to everyone. Do you know, I love talking to doctors, and I love the fact that actually one of the greatest motivations of a doctor's life is this, that they can go and help people. They just love it. It's their motivation that sees them through most things. Mind you, they get a bit hassled at times, but the fact that they can help people. Do you realise that we carry with us, every day of our lives, the pearl of great price, the greatest wisdom of the universe, which is Jesus Christ? And we have that privilege of being able to share it with anyone and everyone we meet. So we can be bold because Jesus is the only way. We can also be bold because he transforms our lives. I guess most of us are in that place where we start off feeling pretty naff about ourselves. But the wonderful truth is that God changes us along the way. Sometimes it can be the immediate zap of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it is time that makes that change in us. I love looking back and seeing the things that God has changed in me. I won't go into them today, but you're probably the same. You know that God has changed you. And that is such a testimony that we can tell people about, because, you know, there are some medicines. I don't know whether you ever go to the doctor. I go to the doctor and they give you medicines, they give you tablets, they give you pills. And how many of us, after having taken them for 3 weeks or 6 weeks or 6 months, we say, actually, they just don't work. And I have to say, in my cupboard, I've got so many tablets that the doctor's tried to give me that just don't work. I just sort of think, well, they're a waste of time. And I go back to the doctor and I say, don't give me them again. But Jesus is the, if you like, the medication that works. He is the one who has conquered death. He is the one who not only has conquered death, but is conquering death in me. He is changing me. He's changing you. He's changing your life. He is the efficacious medication that, well, do you remember that song that went? The efficacious medication that changes lives, and we've got it in our hands. Isn't that brilliant? If anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. I hope you know that today. I've already said about it that God works in the conspiracy of the opposition. But he does more than that. He opposes the opposition. If you read again the story of Israel when they went into the promised land, what you'll find is that God didn't only help them to fight reasonably well, but he did something more than that. He undermined and he opposed the opposition. Take the picture of the walls of Jericho. What did the children of Israel have to do? They just had to walk around the walls and praise God. And then the walls fell down. Hallelujah. Do you know that's what God does in our lives too? The story of Jericho is not just about a 3,000 year ago people. It's about a today situation. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he's working in all of those situations that oppose you to undermine them. And that's why he said of the church, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail. Because you see, hell and all the minions of hell, their aim is not to try and just trip you up. Their aim is to devour you and destroy you. And God is working in total opposition to everything that they are doing. Psalm 138 said, when I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. The wicked flees, though no one pursues. But the righteous are bold as lions. I love when Moses, his parting words to his people were this: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. I was so blessed when Adrian stood up and said, you know, I believe the Lord wants to tell you and remind you that God is with you. The truth is that the boldness and all that's going on, all that sense of undermining of what the enemy is trying to do in your life, it's happening because God is with you. And it was echoed as God spoke to Joshua and he said, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. Do you know that today? Because I believe that if we went out from this place with our eyes fully open to that truth, it would be like we were floating 6 foot off the ground. Is there anything that can come against you? Is there anything that can destroy you? Is there anything that can hold you back from fulfilling God's purposes for your life? The answer is no. Because God's Holy Spirit, that same power who raised Christ from the dead, is living in you. And then finally, we can be bold because we can be bold in prayer. Verse 23 to 31 says, after they pray, 23 to 31 says this. They prayed. Okay, I'll find the words. And they prayed this. They said, now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Scripture says we can come boldly before the throne of grace. I don't know about you, but I want to see the purposes of God for all our lives fulfilled. I believe the way it happens is when we are prepared to come with that boldness to that throne of grace and, like these disciples, say, Lord, give us the boldness. God doesn't undermine us because we admit our weakness. He didn't tell Thomas, you stupid, doubting idiot. He said, come and see the holes. Touch and know my love for you. Today, there is no difficulty in going to God and saying, Lord, we're weak. We know that we fail. You know that we often shy away from sharing those wonders that you've given us because of our fear. Our fears for ourselves, but also our fears of other people. But God would say, I understand. Now do something about it. Now pray to me and come and ask for that boldness and come in boldness to ask. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as your people, as we look at the lives of those of the past who you've taken past those places of fear, those places where they're held back from being the witnesses and the true testimonies to your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you changed them and you can change us too. Come, Lord, and give us the boldness we need. Come, Lord, and give us the strength and the courage that we need. And thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly and ask you. Lord, come and inhabit this heart of mine. Come and fill it with your power divine, that you may receive all the glory, that we may see the wonders of God at work, no longer the if-onlys, but the thanks be to God. He has done marvelous things. Amen.